Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing, because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Now, wait a minute. I know them, you know. They should have been singing the whole time live.
If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me, blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale, like I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But hey, I spoke.
You are a real artist. You are
I am a real artist.
Was written. And you know what? You know what, cuz? I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I
told God I would be faithful about the spirit that he gave me. And he wouldn't let me release it for some time. But if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, A.K. Dicko. A.K. Dicko. 3-5. And I'm big to them. I don't do no physical harm to them. I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them. And they act right.
Oh, well, okay. I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all
that. Yeah. See, I thought that, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are Kaytickle Girl. The one you heard about. We fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles too. We are Kate Pickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in?
Well,
I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel
it
most represents? Your style of music.
Well, Ron L., who is one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our fourth CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls Jip Jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, you know, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything. And, I don't want to call him his real name. Chance has come a long way, and his music
Thank you, Jesus.
Is.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hey, good job. This is a voice. And as I said before,
good evening. Good evening. Welcome to ATAZP Live. The host, TAZ. Tonight is Night Court. The Appellate Court will be honored to have Lady Soldier, a Blog Talk host, in to discuss current events, along with co-host Paula Patton Ross and special guest Isis online. I welcome them all three ladies online, Lady Soldier, Isis, And Paula Pat Ross, how are you doing this evening?
Hi. Everything is everything. Hello, my sisters. How's it going?
Good. How about with you?
Hey.
What it do, baby boo? Lady soldiers in the house. How y'all doing, my sisters?
Wonderful. Hey, wonderful.
I'm great. I'm outstanding.
We will start off with the first case, and then after the first case, I will let you sisters introduce yourself on what you do. The docket number for tonight represents the year, the last two numbers in the year, which is 09, and the number corresponding to the number of days within the year, which is 162. The docket number for tonight is 09162. And this is case 01, the death of David Carradine. Police said the actor may have died from a accidental suffocation or heart failure after revealing that he was found with rope tied around his wrist, neck, and genitals. An act, a sex act known as autoerotic asphyxiation. Carradine's family insisted it was foul play and are dissatisfied with the Thai investigators' findings. My question to all three of you, should Carradine's family seek the truth into David's death or believe the reports out of Bangkok? And we're going to go to Lady Soldier first, then Isis second, then Paula Patton Ross third. Go on, tell me whether or not they should find and seek the truth or just believe the reports out of Bangkok, Lady Soldier.
Okay, I've always been a proponent for the truth, believing that the truth shall set you free, but dude is dead, how much more free can you be? It's
really,
none of our business, you know, how he died. If dude was getting his freak on and something went wrong, you know, oh well, but you know, I'd rather remember him from back in the day on Kung Fu as the grasshopper. I don't want to have my last memory of that man with tied-up genitals and all of that. I'm not trying to hear that. Now, the family themselves, they can find out, but they need to keep that to themselves. I don't even want to hear it.
Well, I agree to a certain extent as well. But my thing is that I would kind of want to know the details because, you know, as a fan of his, particularly with, you know, the whole Kill Bill saga, I mean, that just reignited his career and everything. But the reason I say that I would want to know is because it would provide me with a degree of closure, actually. You know, I'm all for the family finding out, you know, to the finest detail, sure. You know, if they really want to know. But, you know, just if I know, what I know now is enough. Let me say that. And if that's the truth, then I'm satisfied.
Paula?
Okay. Well, all of us are in the industry, in the entertainment industry, and I'm pretty sure we're all aware, we're all aware of damage control, and that for your listeners, for the edification of your listeners, that's when the cleaner goes in and takes care of everything. So what you hear in the end is supposed to satisfy the curiosity of the public. I agree with both of my sisters. As far as my memory of David Carradine is concerned, I care about him as an actor and the enjoyment, the entertainment that he provided for me. And I don't really, I'm sad that the man is gone and people die every day.
Yeah.
I don't really care about what goes on in his private life. And my point is this, how do we know that the family doesn't even know the truth? That's what the reason why I brought up the issue of damage control. Okay, Perhaps they do. But as far as public relations is concerned, their PR guy will make put a spin on it and make it seem like, yeah, they don't know the whole story and let's do this and let's do that. I say that we all remember the man for his craft, no matter what, and let it go like that.
So all three of you are conceited in saying no publicity into his death. So we don't have.
No, I don't. Well, yeah, I don't think. I don't think probing into, again, you know, it looks like from the information you provided that, you know, there was, you know, sort of an alternative self-satisfaction type thing going on. That's fine. You know, he was behind closed doors. He was not with a 14-year-old girl, whatever. That's fine. You know, however he died is fine. I would just like to know, you know, if it was self-inflicted or accidental, that would be enough for me. Even if I didn't know the details, just knowing that if, you know, if it was accidental or self-inflicted, that would provide me some, you know, I guess closure you could say.
Closure.
But yeah, because, you know, if you go around wondering all the time and saying, you know, God, why did he do that? Why did he do that? You know, I'm still in shock, really, over the death of Phyllis Hyman. I mean, you know, there's a certain fascination with suicide as it is. And, you know, you wonder, you know, why would a woman that beautiful do herself in? Why would a woman that talented do that? There's so many questions on suicide. And so even if it is a suicide or if it was accidental, I would just like to know either way, just for that,
Mm-hmm. You hit it right on the head. I'm with you 100% on that. But outside of accident or murder or suicide, the rest of that is that's his private business. I don't need to know all that.
Right. I agree.
Case closed. Lady Soldier is Blog Talk host here on Blog Talk Radio. Lady Soldier, explain exactly what your show is about and what you do.
All right. Real quick, my show, I like to focus on independent artists, whether they're authors, songwriters, producers. If you're not connected to a major label, then I want to help you as far as getting exposure to other members of the human race. Also, I have a big heart, so I take up causes like domestic violence, homelessness, people who lost their rights because of felony convictions. And I try to illuminate, you know, other choices out there, because once you make a mistake, society throws you away. But I'm here as a witness that there's still options out there. You can still provide for your family. There's still hope for you to get a place to live. There's still hope, and every time I find some information that can be of assistance to someone else, I make it known on my show.
Absolutely.
Cool. Isis, special guest last minute, throw in. She's,
you know what? Stop right there. That's the raggiest introduction I've ever had.
I know, girl. Go ahead and pop him one time.
It was the last minute because I didn't type it on my site. Usually I type everybody's name on here and I don't have it.
This is so horrible.
I'm gonna come back again.
I have complex now.
I got left out. I am so sorry. Isis dancer / choreographer / TV producer / actress. What else do you have going on that you haven't done?
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. But no.
And she do comedy, too.
Well, okay, you know what? I just, first let me say, you know, to my other sisters on the show here, I'm sure that you know this young man pretty well, as I do. And we all know that he is like the clown supreme. But why was he laughing? Why was he giggling while he was introducing me? Do you all feel something else here? Do you all feel a larger work at hand, you know, hand at work here?
Yeah, just thank them, child. Just, you know how to do them.
Go on, Isis. Just tell them where you've been at and what you've been doing. You've been on the show once before when we had Drew on, Drew 32. So,
well, mostly what my focus is, actually dance and the wonderful, timeless art of dance. And I recently, age is not a friend's dancer, and so you can't go into video auditions now and say, hey, I want to dance, or, you know, at a certain age. And now I have parlayed that into production, which is working out very, very well. TV production is really a haven now. I'm learning a lot. I have learned a lot, and I know that there is much more to be learned. The industry, the TV industry, is probably the most cutthroat that you could ever think of. Enron has nothing on Hollywood. Let me just say that.
Go ahead.
I can throw that up in there. That's good.
Go on and say what you've been doing and what you're getting along.
Oh, I want to
hear this. I really do. I'm interested in this.
What happened?
Nothing. I want to hear because I'm interested in what.
Well, I was in. I'm an entrepreneur, and I've been involved in a lot of the art. Okay, I'm a poetess at heart, a writer, and everything. I mean, I tell on practically all the shows I talk about my muse being my pen. And which I had an opportunity because I branched off into, after my first book was published, I got into music, and I've known Taz for quite some while, but we wound up collaborating on what would be a complement to my book, Tell Me Where the Trees Find Shelter. That opened up the door to me getting into music production itself, and so I developed a music production company called Nice Guy and started working with up-and-coming recording artists. And this is so, I can't think of the word offhand, but it's relative that you should mention domestic violence because I've dedicated a whole chapter in my book, which is called The Honeymoon Phase, about domestic violence.
Wow.
You know, because it's something that really, it's an issue that needs to be brought to the forefront. Okay, and I understand why there's such a problem and, you know, women aren't discussing it that much. And also I want to make a point that domestic violence isn't just limited to male on female. But anyway, I could go on and on and on. Nonetheless, my music production company led to another opportunity, which allowed me to create a television network, which I call Namaste Broadcasting Network.
Okay.
And it's web-based. It's a focus on health and wellness, spirituality, and, of course, the art, a segment called Dialogue Art. So I got the opportunity to take all of the things, my creativity, all the areas of my creativity, and put them together via this new network, which is about to launch on June 19th, this month. I'm in the process now of doing the timeline for all the programming, getting my content, and I'm very, very happy with this project.
Wow.
Okay.
People are busy.
We're busy talking, my sister, Isis, the soldier, because there is definitely a spot for all artists, especially your activism. And I'd like to, since this project has come about, I've told some of the interviewees on Taz's show that I'd like to get in touch with them later on so we can kind of hook up and get together, and my network has the opportunity to go ahead and plug, giving you guys a global, regional, local presence and whatever, you know, we can work out for the sake of your enterprises. So without taking too much time, Namaste Broadcasting Network is coming soon.
Awesome.
Case number two. A dead thief who stuffed a pair of live lobsters in his pan learned that the crime doesn't pay when the frisky critters gave him a vasectomy. Police said that the 24-year-old shoplifter was leaving a Bristol, England supermarket when he removed the lobsters from their tank and shoved them into his trousers. The man sprinted past stunned checkout girls and came to a screeching halt when he felt the lobsters clutching on his manhood. The thorny creatures were finally removed when the emergency medics tied them loose with pliers. Doctors say the thief will fully recover from his frightening tangle with the lobsters, but he will never be a daddy. My question to the panel is, after trying to steal these lobsters, should the man face charges or did he pay the price? Starting with Lady Soldier.
Okay, no.
Y'all all right?
I would have to say time served for that one. Goodness gracious, if that makes a very interesting punishment. I'm going to have to remember that next time someone talks about a child molester. I'm going to have to remember that one.
So he learned his lesson through the actual experience, or should he face charges?
Well, you know, in other parts of the world, when somebody steals or shoplifts, they get their hand cut off. So I think homeboy has learned his lesson. Yeah.
Isis?
First of all, ouch.
She talking about ouch.
I mean, yeah. Secondly, did he get to keep the lobsters?
No, he didn't get to keep them.
I don't think he'd want it no more.
The poor lobsters, you know, I mean, that must have been absolutely traumatic for them. As far as him learning his lesson, though, yeah, I think he's probably contemplating this whole thing right now and will be for a long time, especially now that it's been confirmed that he will never bear children. You know, I mean, he has a constant reminder every day of this incident, and the fact that it even made the papers is probably punishment enough.
No. Paula.
I know I wouldn't want to holler at him. That's a show.
Paula. Is Paula there?
Paula.
I don't know if she dropped up. Well, if she did, her number is still up here.
Okay,
Paula. Well, when she's not there. No? Wait a minute. She did drop. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Let me see. I'm waiting on
you. Get her back.
Paula, you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Okay,
what is it? Should he face charges, or did he learn his lesson by getting snatched by the lobsters?
Okay, now see, they called me the Iron Maiden when I was in the corporate culture, because I fired everybody for any and everything. And I taught my children to suffer the consequences of actions. And I really feel badly. The man was young, huh? And I feel really badly that he's not able to reproduce. But the law is the law.
There she goes.
That was, okay, quasi an act of God that he should get snipped without the bill. But the law is the law. And just because he had that physical malady, that thing that happened to him, doesn't deduct or take away from the fact that he committed a crime. And so, I mean, your public opinion, they probably protest out in front of Buckingham Palace. It would ripple all the way across the world that he should not be tried because of what happened to him. But if I was wearing one of them funny-looking white wigs dressed in my little black, I would just be throwing my gavel down.
Get it, girl.
You're real hard there. That's why we got three people in here to decide. I'm the court. I'm usually the judge and have to come to a decision, but there's no ties tonight. So
yeah.
The majority said he learned his lesson. But I know
he learned his lesson. Okay, that's true. And I believe without a doubt that he learned his lesson. But the law is the law. he should be tried. Okay, if they don't find him guilty, that's fine.
Stitch him up and try him.
They need to take him through the same changes they take everybody else through when it comes to the law.
Case number three. Case number three. Going to bed the other night, I noticed people in my shed stealing things. I phoned the police, but was told no one was in the area to help. They said they would send someone over as soon as possible. I hung up. A minute later, I rang again. "Hello," I said. "I called you a minute ago because there were people in my shed. You don't have to worry now or hurry over here because I shot them." Within minutes, there were half a dozen police in the area, plus helicopters and an armed response unit. They caught the burglars red-handed. One of the officers said, "I thought you said you shot them," to which I replied, "I thought you said there was no one available." My question is, can we trust 911?
Okay, well, you know 911 is a joke.
Word.
You know, Flavor Flav said that 20 years ago, and I really hate that I'm even quoting him now because I really, you know.
You're killing me, too.
I despise what he's become. I really do. But, 911 is a joke. I mean, you know, I called 911 a long time ago. Don't you see how late they're reacting? They only come when they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So get the morgue truck and embalm the goner, you know? I mean, how plainer can you make it than that?
That was ISIS, y'all. Ladies, told you.
All right. I tell people all the time that I have a severe reaction, allergic reaction to popo. So straight up, hasn't even been a whole week. There was a barbecue two houses down, and they was doing their thing, and some folks got into it and stabbed each other in the shoulder.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you would think that, okay, a couple of police cars will come by, maybe an ambulance. Oh, no. They sent 12 police cars. I ain't lying because I counted them. 12 police cars, two ambulances, and a fire truck. So that's where my tax dollars is going to because Negroes want to get drunk at a barbecue. they react when they want to, and in my case and where I stay at, they overreact because they got to justify having so many daggone police officers. I mean, come on, it'll take 12 cars to break up two people. It don't do it. They just trying to justify the thing.
Well, you know, Lady Sosa, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I mean, I have two words: 42 bullets. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oops. Nothing.
Paula.
Okay, you're asking whether or not 911 is a joke or that can be trusted.
Yeah, basically. That's what I'm asking.
All right.
After that fiasco, yes, basically.
Okay. All right. Next.
We all in the green.
That question kind of answers itself. There's no, there's no fiduciary between 911 and as public servants. Servants attest, I don't believe it exists.
No, we cannot trust them.
No,
okay.
Hell no.
This is a sidebar question, and basically it's, should cities have crazy names like the ones I'm getting ready to roll off? I'm going to roll off a couple of U.S. cities. Seaman, Alabama. Pickles Gap, Arkansas.
Lord have mercy.
Dunmovin, California. Fort Dick, California. Shafter, California. Willacoochee, Georgia. Beaverville, Illinois. Bone Gap, Illinois, Body, Illinois, Fuck It, that's F-U-G-I-T, Fuck It, Kentucky, Baines Beach, Maine, Ass in Nippy, Massachusetts.
Wait, rewind that one.
Ass in Nippy, Massachusetts. Fertile, Minnesota. Ironwood, Minnesota. Climax Springs, Missouri. Bloody
Devil
Dick.
There.
Bloody Dick, Montana. Elephant Butt, New Mexico.
Oh,
Butter spelled B-U-T-T-E. Hancock Town, North Carolina. Dickey, North Dakota. Ballville, Ohio, Cockland, Ohio, Beaver, Oklahoma, Yoakum Town, Pennsylvania, Zip Down, Pennsylvania, Lickdale, Pennsylvania, Deep Gat, Tennessee, Ball Play, Tennessee, Glass Cock, Texas, Need More, Texas, I need to move there, Probe, Utah, On a Cock, Virginia. Tight Squeeze, Virginia. Mount Gay, West Virginia. Should all these cities have the names? This is just a sidebar question. I wouldn't want to live in none of those spots that's jacked up like that, but should they have funny names like that or, you know, crude names? Lady Soldiers.
Well, I got to go first all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta go first all the time.
I'm sorry.
Hey, I wanna know, Lady Soldier, you in Virginia.
I know, right?
Have you been to On a Cock, Virginia, and Tight Squeeze, Virginia?
Hell to the no, Virginia.
Oh my goodness.
Pretty name that, Virginia.
And by the way, I'm mad that there's a crazy Durham city in my. I'm from North Carolina. I'm an old Kakalaki girl. I'm just stuck in Virginia. I don't claim VA, but unfortunately, one of those crazy behind names made it in North Carolina too. So I'm upset about that. Shall they name? Well, you know, when you high, you do crazy things. I believe that when they name these towns, that they
were high.
It was probably back in the day when the peace pipe was still being passed around. And, you know, it happened. I couldn't live there, though. I'd have to, you know, get Greyhound somebody. Come get me. I couldn't do it. I would not pay no money, put that a stamp on a letter, and send it to near none of one of them places. No.
P.O. Box.
You know?
ISIS.
No, I don't think. I mean, I think it's a part of, I don't know, not that I ever really declare myself so much of an American, but I think it's a part of American culture. I mean, I don't live far from Willacoochee, Georgia, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And neither do I live too far. I live less than an hour from Climax, Georgia. And then... yeah, exactly. Then, I'm not far from Two Egg, Florida. You know, so I don't know. I think it adds to the humor, and it definitely lends itself a certain whimsy as well. They're just names, and, you know, you can turn anything into a joke. And, you know, I mean, think about Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. I mean, this is where that name, you know, that name derived itself because they used to hold court there. And, you know, they used to also hand down sentencing there as well. So, Truth or Consequences. It's cute. It's fun. I don't mind it.
Okay. Paula. We're tied in the vote. No, we shouldn't have crazy names, and one say they like it, so you'll be able to kill it.
I'm a student of etymology. I love word origin, and so when I, you know, hear a word or the name of a town, person's last name, whatever, my mind clicks automatically into how that could have come about.
Right.
You know, names. You know what I think of? I think of Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Blazing Saddles.
Oh, my goodness.
And the reason why I think of it is, like, for instance, Las Vegas. Las Vegas I call modern-day Rome, okay? My daughter lives there, and she does research on every doggone thing. She's just that type of person. And she found out that it's really run by the powers that be are a bunch of hicks. And she says, when I say hicks, you know, I'm talking about people, the old-fashioned, like the people from Blazing Saddles. She says, when something goes wrong, the hicks come down from the hill, and they scream and present precedents and blah, 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 laws get changed, yada, 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 yada. So I think that it's all right. Because today in society we have been so desensitized to so many things that in 10, 15 years from now, nobody's going to find that fascinating.
Right, exactly.
Unless you live there.
You know what, Paula? I think really and truly, I think that that's a pretty sad state of affairs as well.
Right.
You know, I was watching, and I don't want to sidetrack the conversation for too long, but I was watching the History Channel just the other night, and they did a wonderful expose on hillbilly culture and how it came to be, and how it came to be. And I really had no idea. I mean, people are so quick to, you know, write Appalachian and mountain living off and as being, you know, Hickville and Deliverance, and, you know, which that movie did not help at all. But what I found really fascinating was that these are people who defended themselves to the British Army. Mm. And you're talking about 100, maybe 100 plus people who said, you know, no, we're not going to take this. We're not going to be told how to live, and we're not going to be told how we should raise our families and who we should bow to. We're not going to do it. And so they took 100-plus men, went into the mountains. Well, they were already there, but they brought the fight to the British soldiers, and they won, you know. And that is the crux of what, quote-unquote, people call hillbilly culture.
Mm-hmm. And quickly, I want to add that owning 8,000 acres of land, okay, is nothing. When these people, let's say, for lack of a better word, and of course this network, this radio station does not lean towards any bias, discrimination in, of cultures, or anything like that. But so I'll say, these hillbillies, their language, their way of speaking, okay, is descendant from the colonial British that came and gave the words. The word like, how do they call food? The word is victual, but I forgot the word Granny used to use when she talked about food. It led to something else, but it came from
Fiddles.
It came from the word victual, and there's a lot to be learned about that culture. So I don't want to be smashing and bashing the hillbillies. But like I said, those names, there's a reason why those cities and towns are named like that. And we weren't there at the table. And because America, well, society has become so desensitized to a lot of things, it's not going to make that much of a difference.
I agree.
I don't know, y'all. But Anus France. Big shit in India.
That's not called anus, though. That's her name.
It's a new, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's spelled as anus for us.
Right.
A gay.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? Anus. Okay.
Titty Ho, England.
What is
Trim, Titty Ho,
well,
England.
Now that can be excused automatically.
Piss River in Nicaragua. Titless Switzerland. Big a dick Turkey. Finger in hoe UK. Twat UK. I mean, there's a lot of penis stone, England. That might be a place where y'all all want to go. Penis stone.
Well, you know what? They bled too close, so anything can come up there now.
Well, why you tripping, though? Why you tripping? The ladies of Great Britain took it upon themselves, and I think it's coming up pretty soon, too, in July. They took it upon themselves to organize National Orgasm Day in England.
Well,
so use that information as you will.
Okay.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
We're on the date. How's that one? Case number four. I'm on case number four. I'm off of this. That was a sidebar. Case number four. I just want to know, can this really be true? An eyeful a day keeps the doctor away. Staring at women's breasts is good for men. Men's health makes them live longer, a new survey reveals. Researchers have discovered that a 10-minute oogle at a woman's breast is as healthy as a half hour in the gym. Mercy. A 5-year study of 200 men found that those who enjoyed long-looking and busty beauties had lower blood pressure, less heart disease, and slower pulse rates compared to those who did not get their daily eyeful. I want to know, can this be true? And does it work vice versa for the women? Could it work for y'all, too?
Yeah, but we're just better at it. You know. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, you know, and I know these ladies can back me up, you know. We can check a dude out, find out if he's married, get the phone number, address, email, all without saying a word, okay? Men, on the other hand, if a woman passes by that might catch your interest or is attractive to you, it becomes, I mean, you might as well send a mariachi band and fireworks in front of you because we catch you every time. We catch you every time. And you cannot catch us in that. We are so gifted at that, it's not even funny.
That's not good. You got to be
So to answer your question, yeah.
You believe this to be true. That's ISIS again. Lady Soldier.
Yeah, it's definitely true, and I have to say that I do feel sorry. I feel like I have shortened the lives of many men because I have kept mine well covered and hidden away for a very long time.
Shame on you.
Praise God. Paula.
How long is this show?
We got 44 minutes left.
All right, then, doggone it. I'm not going to go into everything I was going to say, but I'll give you a short reason why I believe that is true, and it's based on scientific fact. We're talking about the release of dopamines and serotonin and stuff like that, so yeah, it's true.
There you go.
Okay, true. Case number 505, a U.S. Coca-Cola truck driver has been sacked after being spotted guzzling down a soft drink made by the rival Pepsi. Rick Bronson, who worked for the world's biggest soft drink firm for 12 years, was fired after someone reported him for supporting the enemy. Coke is really gasping at straws, said Jim Angelo, principal officer of the Teamsters branch, of which Bronson is a member of, in El Monte, east of the California hub of Los Angeles. There is nothing more than an attempt to get rid of a pro-union employee. The Teamsters will fight every step of the way to get Rick's job back, he vowed. Should he be fired? Lady Soldier.
Hell no, I shouldn't be fired, and I'm a Coca-Cola fanatic. But you can't govern people's private lives just for a paycheck. I mean, this is still in the United States, right? I mean, freedom of speech, you can't have freedom of drink. I mean, that's just messed up. That's messed up. Now, I can understand if he was wearing his Coca-Cola uniform while delivering some Coca-Cola and in the store going to turn around and bust open a Pepsi. Yeah, that's a smack in the head. But, you know, if he was off the clock, let him drink what he want to drink. Dang.
When they said it, I'm reading here. I'm trying to follow. It doesn't say whether he was on the clock or not. Does not say.
The truck.
See, I guess he was driving. I'm assuming he was driving a truck of Coke products when he was drinking a Pepsi. But of course, he probably didn't have no uniform on though.
Well, here's my thing. I think that's irrelevant because his job description does not state that, you know, that he has to, if he's going to drink something, that it has to be Pepsi, Coke, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, that extends far past what we're talking about here. We're talking about just a simple human right here, and that's to drink what you want. He was not endangering anyone. You know, he was not putting himself in harm's way. There was nothing that was going to happen that was dangerous in him drinking a Pepsi on the job, if that's what he was doing. You know, if he had made his deliveries that day, or if he was on time with his deliveries, if the stores that he was delivering to were pleased with his deliveries, and if the company was pleased with his deliveries up to the moment he took that first sip, then I don't even know why that's an issue.
They're saying that under the slander rule that he slandered their company by drinking Pepsi.
So what?
That's what I say too. But I'm just the presenter and the judge here. Paula?
You know what? Don't even use my real name.
Oh, no.
In association with that question.
Double P.
Hey.
Because things are becoming so ludicrous. The things that happen in the world now, right now, oh, gosh. That just opens up a Pandora's box.
I'm going to sweep my floor. Y'all go on.
So I take it you don't agree with that. He should not be fired.
Firing? No.
Okay.
No. I mean, come on, especially in this economy, you going to sit there. How is he going to go home and tell his wife and kids, I don't have a job no more because I decided to have a Pepsi today?
That's
today. And you know what? I want to know, okay, because that sounds so ludicrous. I want to know how convoluted that story has become since it actually hit the press.
True that.
That just doesn't make a bit of sense to me. You know what it sticks up on the back of my mind? His daughter or one of his kids packing his lunch or something, wanting to be nice and make daddy something extra and pack his lunch. But they gave him a Pepsi for his break. Come on.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
You know what? I don't know who would even entertain that. You know what I'm saying?
That's
I mean,
said, don't even mention my name on the mess.
Thank you.
Paula is hot. This is touchy for you.
You know, they just goes to show how they need a light. They need a light. Take out something messy like that. And you know what? Did they actually have a contract for that man to sign the day they promised to hire him? Okay, and there's one exception right here. It's really no big doggone deal, but once you drink, you only got to drink. Like that movie Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell in it. He's got all that food, and he's got, okay, and it's in my contract that we have to mention such and such three times at prayer.
Yes.
Okay. You know what? You know what though? Okay, I had a similar problem with a clothing store called. Well, you know, we all know the real. I guess it was a. You could call it a teeny bopper store. At least that's what it's become. And they required, and still require, that anything that you wear while you're working on the clock, it has to be from that company. It has to be off the floor of that store. And, you know, and my thing was this, okay, this is a, you know, a, I would say a semi-expensive store, okay, it's a little above the average cost of a store. And so you have teenagers working in there who are probably only pulling down, what, maybe $130, $200, you know, every 2 weeks or whatever, and they're going to go and buy a $50 or $60 shirt.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is you require them to do this, but you know, I mean, that's I'm like my sister over here. I don't even want to debate that issue anymore. Let's hear the next case.
Yeah, that's
case number six. He should not be fired. Okay, case number six. Bakery alleged discards employee severed arm. A Spanish trade union is suing a bakery that allegedly threw the severed arm of an employee into a bin after it was amputated in an accident with a kneading machine. The Workers' Commission said in a statement Wednesday that Bolivian immigrant Franz Ruiz lost his left arm in May 28 at the Rivera Bakery. The union said that while Rawley's was working and he was taken to the hospital, someone tossed his arm into the garbage. It says the bakery then cleaned the machinery and continued production. Police found the arm the next day, the union said, but doctors was unable to reattach it. The union said Rawley's had worked illegally at the factory for 2 years, earning $32 a day. And had not been properly trained on the kneading machine. My question is, will he win his suit? He's suing because he didn't get his arm put back on, and he lost the arm while working there. Of course, he worked there illegally for 2 years, but if they paid him, he worked there. to me. But I'm going to let y'all discuss it. Lady Souls.
Okay. He was there. I mean, this is America, true that. And he worked there illegally, but they didn't say whether or not he was an illegal citizen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Does that, just because he was working there illegally, does that mean that he was in the country illegally?
Yeah.
I don't know. They didn't go into, and this is in Madrid. So I don't know.
Shoot.
I don't know what happened.
Europeans don't care, man. Europeans don't care. He's going to win that money. He's going to get that because he was there. He was there for 2 years. So, I mean, yeah, he's going to get that money.
He got paid.
In Madrid?
So we're not?
Are you saying the incident happened in Madrid?
Yes, it did.
I don't know about the laws there. My sister ought to be able to understand that. So she's been in Spain, so she'll know more about the laws than I could, but I would. But, oh, well, it's her turn to answer. Dear, I give you the floor.
what is your answer?
No, I'm not even taking the floor. I was jumping out of town. I'm giving the floor to ISIS.
It doesn't matter. Go on. Say what you're going to say.
So you're saying your question is, should he sue?
No, is he going to win his suit? He's got a suit in now.
He's going to win his suit. Oh, yeah. Homeboy's going to get paid.
Well, like I said, they said he was working there illegally for 2 years. But
well,
he did get paid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what that sounds like? That sounds like, okay.
Cheap labor. That's what it sounds like.
Not only that, but it's like when police obtain information that could actually support their case, the prosecution's case, but the way they obtained it was illegally.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, more often than none, the judge suppresses, you know, that information because of the way it was obtained. In this case, it doesn't matter that he was there, okay? He didn't even have to be an employee, the way I looked at it, to have to lose his arm.
Yeah.
And still.
Okay. That was a good point right there. That changed my mind. ISIS.
Yeah. Get a man his arm.
Give him his money. Yep.
Yeah, really.
Case number seven. It's an international mystery. How did a Missouri family Christmas photo card end up in the Czech Republic, splashed across a huge storefront advertisement? Daniel Smith said Wednesday that the photo was taken of her family last year, got sent to family and friends, and was posted on her blog and a few social networking sites. The photo showed her husband, holding their two young children. About 10 days ago, one of Smith's college friends was driving through Prague when he spotted the huge smiling faces in the window of a store specializing in European food. He snapped a few pictures and sent them to the flabbergasted Smith. My question to this is, do the family have a case over the photo being in Prague? Do they have a case where they could sue for using their likeness to sell this food over? I mean, they're using their face and image to sell items at this European food market.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Soldier.
Okay. I have not gone to any type of law school. I just remember the little bit that I bothered to pay attention in class in the ninth grade. But you know what I'm saying? So it was my understanding that once you make something public, like a photograph, lyrics to a song, or something of that matter, then it was automatic copyrighted, and no one else could use it without your permission. So I'm not, you know, entirely sure. So I, you know, with my limited knowledge of the law, I would say that the family had a case.
ISIS.
I'm going to say just the opposite because I think we're looking at public domain here as well.
She had it on the blog, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're talking about public domain. We're talking about uncopyrighted images. We're also talking about unregistered trademarks because and as well as infringement on registered trademarks because the clothing, if they were wearing name brand clothing, then whoever the name brand is, like if they were wearing Nike jackets or something, then Nike could protest it. They could piggyback the lawsuit with Nike or whomever and say, you know, yeah, take it down because, you know, Nike did not give them permission to post this photo in their advertisement, okay? You know, this is an advertisement of an advertisement. And so then again, Nike could be turn around and be just as nasty and say, well, okay, as long as the logo is visible to the public, keep it up. You know, it could go a number of ways, but I would probably see what legal recourse I would have as far as being able to get them to take it down and being compensated for having used it. You know, that would be my thing. As far as suing them for using it, I don't think they have a leg to stand on, but being compensated, yeah, I think they might have a case.
Okay. Paula.
Okay. I'm going to get a call after the show from my attorney. And the reason why, no, seriously. The reason why I say that is because, okay, with the network that we're launching, we have affiliates all over the United States, including Europe, you know, both hemispheres of Europe. And now the reason why I said I'm going to get a call is because I believe that because we have an issue about something that was sent over the Internet, and it's not a legal case that we have, but our attorneys had to find out about Internet law because Internet law, I mean, the Internet is
it's different.
Yeah. And so we had to find out whether or not we were subject to the same laws, whether the laws would be the same in sending a photo across. And it was about a photo. It didn't involve us, but that's what put the our attorneys on the course. And I believe their finding was because it went through the Internet that there was no violation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because anybody could get it.
Yeah. I, like I said, I'm going to get a call from one of them. It's about 20 of them, too. But I'm going to get a call from one of them because I can't remember whether or not they found out. And my understanding is because anybody, once you send something across the Internet, anybody can get it. Grab hold of it, you know, that it doesn't, you know, there's no liability or a need for any type of mitigation because you knew, let's put it this way, you knew the job was dangerous when you took it. So you should have had, you know, the knowledge, the wherewithal to know that there's a chance that somebody could intercept this or, you know, they know that you're sending it and blah, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, think before you post.
Right. So I'm thinking that the finding of our attorneys was that, yeah, there's no liability. I still, like I suggested, would find out based on their law there to find out whether or not there is damages that they're entitled to because if, in fact, their sales increase, after the usage of that
stuff. There you go. Yeah, that's how I think it too.
Mm-hmm.
So what is our final decision? They have a case over the photo I mean, it's I asked a vague question, and after y'all talked it out.
I don't think so.
They should get paid is basically what
think
we're
that
all
they
saying.
They should get paid, but that's, you know, my thinking as far as.
But no case to sue.
I don't think
I personally, with my little limited legal knowledge and my little limited legal logic, would say that they have a case as far as suing them for using it. Now,
yeah.
Can they sue them for compensation? Yes, because they are in the photo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can they sue them? Right, you know, I mean, we're talking like civil rights and privacy and stuff like that. No,
right.
once you press send, nah, no,
Case 08, and we got one more after this and we're done. Authorities said a man was upset with how his case was going, bolted from the Cincinnati courtroom, and was chased by police officers on hand to testify in other cases. Officers said the 27-year-old man made his run at the Hamilton County Courthouse Tuesday after a judge increased his bond on drug charges and placed him under house arrest. Deputies radioed to the officers in the building to cover the exits while the man raced down two flights of stairs. He was caught and returned to the courtroom where he cursed the judge, his attorney, the deputies, and others. Judge Stephen Martin ordered the man jailed on contempt for running and cursing. After the man serves the 30-day contempt sentence, he still faces the drug count. Do we agree with this sentencing? I mean, this is so easy. Do we agree with the sentencing that he's got to wait 30 more days because he's held in contempt for running out?
You're saying that he has to do the sentence for the crime he committed first and then.
No, afterwards. He's got to wait 30 days for just him running out of the court now because he's held in contempt. And then he come back and get some more for the drug counts.
When you say wait, does that mean that they're putting his case on hold, or whether that's 30-day sentencing for that act?
After the man serves the 30 days,
okay.
Then he comes back and faces the drug counts. I'm asking, was this fair, or is this right? You should have got it all thrown together, don't you think? That's what I'm thinking.
You know what? You can't run into a theater in the United States and yell fire. So now the man knew doggone well that he's suffering the consequences of your action. Okay. There ain't no way in the world he thought that they were going to allow him to act like that. Slap him on his wrist and say, "And I'm not sending your family that Christmas card that I usually send you every year."
Mm.
Right.
Yeah, your attorneys need to be calling you.
They don't call me.
Lady Soldier.
Oh, come on. No, under the jail, 30 days. Yeah.
ISIS.
Well.
I thought you were going to come with something that would make me go, that's another point of view.
You was having a Madea moment, man. Come on.
Well, I don't know, man, because, okay, the point, there's really no point of law here to argue because, okay, if he did what if the judge held him in contempt, then he has to serve the time or pay the fine for that charge. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And whenever the judge wants to fine him for that or even hear an apology for it, some judges like to hear apologies. You know,
yeah.
Then that's up to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if
And if that's 30 days from now, then so be it.
Well, he ain't a judge for nothing.
Right, because contempt of court is usually a judge-mandated kind of, I guess you could, if you want to call it a crime. You know, I mean, that's mandated by them because they choose to run their courtroom the way that they say that the way that they see fit. They have been given that authority.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever he does, whatever he or she decides to do, that's something.
And can I add something? You know, we have, I bring back the term desensitization. We have become so desensitized that people don't even look at the judicial system with the reverence that when I was coming up, okay, and I don't know whether it's a cultural thing, just the way my family raised me, whether they were right or they're not, there was a certain behavior that you were supposed to have in court.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, during that time, too, you couldn't see black people in commercials. So,
well, you know, there's a whole reason for that because, you know, the court system has almost become like the school system. And I'm not even going to begin to really open that up. I'm just going to speak on that for a second and get off of it. But, you know, you have the kids party with their teachers now. Okay? You know, the students are their teachers' friends. They're their pals. Oh. They're their hangout buddies. And I'm not saying that the court system has gotten leisurely about it. But at the same time, they have not been as stringent about the lines that are crossed every day either.
All right. I hear you. I see you.
Yeah, that's all
okay.
I'm saying.
I
agree with you, sir. So we agree with what the judge did.
I do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I do too.
Here's the sidebar in the last case, so be it, you want to say it is. Israel couple are preparing to divorce after the man summoned a prostitute to his hotel room, only to discover it was his daughter. The tale of the family turmoil began some months ago when the father, a businessman based in Haiti, was sent by his company to a course in a nearby resort. As the
part
of the room, the full horror for him of discovering his daughter's occupation hit him. The father began feeling chest pains, which may have been from a mild heart attack. He didn't cut short his stay and returned home to his distraught wife and told the truth of what had happened. She had vowed to track down her daughter and find a more suitable job for her. However, her forgiveness was not extended to her husband, and she has made it clear she wishes to divorce him. My question is, what do you think about this? Is this your opinion? I mean, you like Floyd, like he calling the call girl, then boom, this is his daughter. That's some shit that'd be on TV.
That seems like that right there is something. That's something to get over. I mean, that's television stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
But you
Lady
know what? Soldier. I have. Yeah, please.
Okay. This is one of those times where I try to imagine what I would do if it was my husband explaining to me. Yeah, I was at a conference, honey, and you know, I got a little lonely because I missed you just that much that I called a prostitute. And lo and behold, don't you know, it was our daughter. No, you didn't miss me that much. You was glad to be gone at this thing so you could call a prostitute. Yeah, the divorce is, you know, do you even have to think about that? You out. And she was right to try to find something better for her daughter to do, but I just can't stand cheaters, man. I'm just, oh, Lord, have mercy.
ISIS. I already know what your answer is going to be.
Yeah, I'm all with Lady Soldier on that cheating thing. I'm all with her on that. But here's my dilemma here, okay? I try to look at the finer points of this situation, and the finer points of this situation say to me that this is not the first time that you've done this. You know, if you can do it that easily, when she was recreating the scene, you know, and I was listening to her and I was thinking about it, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's not the first time he's done that, because for him to do it that easily, you know, he's had some practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, we have bigger issues than even that. And I mean, and of course the biggest issue is that, okay, my daughter responded. Okay. You know, we would have a come to Jesus meeting for real. You know, I would deal with him later. I really would. I would deal with him later. But he and I would have to first present a united front to her,
right?
And say to her that you really have no choice here. And well, I'm going to give you one, but there really isn't one that you're going to like, and that is you keep doing what you're doing, but you do it out of my house. That's number one. Number two, you stop what you're doing, and you still get out of my house. You know, that's just, I mean, we have bigger issues here. There are problems here. There are problems here that the three of them haven't even begun to deal with.
Interesting.
Right. Paula.
Okay, I have 3 points to make, and one of them is I could go with popular opinion and look at it from a societal point of view, okay, and say in agreement with what Isis said, there are issues that need to be addressed before we can even deal with the issue of sexual infidelity.
Yeah.
Another issue is a culture. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how divorce works. A woman has to get permission in order to divorce her husband. If they're Orthodox Jews, okay? Or did you just say that they were Israeli?
They were Israeli.
Actually, what has to happen for divorce there is that they have to have 4 people actually witness the person in the act of adultery in order to grant divorce. I mean, I think things have come a bit further than that now, but the law on the books at one time was that was how they had to do divorce. They had to have 4 people actually catch them in the act of adultery in order to grant divorce. And that was the only thing that they figured in divorce in Israeli law that could not be worked through was infidelity.
In the event that they were, you know, Orthodox Jews.
Right.
Secondly, the daughter, and it's a culture, United States got their nose in everything, and they're trying to get to the point now where, you know, women are not killed, you know, for certain things in certain cultures, especially in the Middle East. But in Israeli law, if she was found guilty of such a thing, and another one thing about that religion is that Jews can't kill anybody with their own hands. And so when you read in the Bible and you hear about some prince in Stephen, I think Stephen was stoned. You can't kill anybody, so they stone them. All right,
mm-hmm.
Drop these big boulders on you. All right, so the girl, that's a heinous, you know, offense. Now, that's point number two. Point number three is, I look at the foundation that a person's relationship is built on. Okay. And if the foundation that you built your relationship on is a foundation based on sex, then your marriage was doomed before it even began.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If your foundation was built on friendship, then that's a discussion, no doubt in my mind, that you guys need to talk about it. Because there's that thing, unspoken vow, you be weak, I'll be strong. She might be totally devoted in that respect to her husband. But like you said, Humboldt practiced this. Okay, he's not a novice to such a thing. Okay, so now she needs to make a decision as to whether or not she's going to allow him to continue with his sexual infidelity. And if there's evidence that the two of them truly love each other, and I don't base love, devotion, and affection on sex, I don't feel that that is indicative of how much a person loves, you know, another person. So this is where I'm not taking the, you know, the societal point of view. I believe that if the two of them can reach a meeting of the minds, and she can figure, okay, well, our marriage is open, all right? Maybe she doesn't want to go and fool around, and she can deal with the fact that that's the way he is. And if their relationship can still survive that way, then that's fine. But if the foundation was based on sex, there seems to be a parting of the ways in the horizon. Okay.
Totally.
So,
okay.
That's all I can say.
That concludes this night court. Case number one, the death of David Carradine. We said no publicity into his death. We want to, you know, remember him as he was on Kung Fu, Grasshopper, and all that. Case number two, castrated by lobster. The dude learned his lesson. Case number three, can we trust 911? It's still a joke. Funny names and funny cities. Should cities have crazy names? And you said we should. Everybody said we should. Looking at boobs is healthy. And can this be true? And the court agreed true. The Pepsi drinker who drives Coke products, should he be fired? You said no. The armed server gone. Will he win his case? And everyone agreed, yes, he will. The family that has the picture in Prague. No case to sue for using it, but a case for getting compensation. Do we agree on this case, which is number eight, the guy running out of the courtroom and getting prolonged sentence because he's held in contempt? And we agreed that the judge knew what he was doing. And on this last sidebar, as in reference to the man trying to have a call girl and got surprised because it was his daughter, the court agreed there's more to this case than just divorce. There's more problems concerning them with their daughter. I want to thank Lady Soldier, Isis, and Paula Patton Ross for being on this night court number three. And you ladies brought up a lot of different points that I did not think of, even though I had my own set of opinions, but you kind of swayed me on a couple of them. Give out your information where y'all can be contacted at if you got a MySpace or you want to plug that. Y'all give y'all last little bit of input. We got 6 minutes left. Lady Soldier, go first. Please don't be long-winded. Please do not be long-winded.
Lord have mercy. Do I have that reputation? Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio /LadySoul_DJA. Twitter.com/LadySoldier. Just Google it, Lady Soulja, DJA. You'll find me. That's all I got to say. You have me now.
Isis.
Well, you can always catch me on blackplanet.com. You can search me under my name, Isis, Y-S-I-S, and catch me there. Submit any questions that you might have, and I will try and help you as best I can. Good to talk to everybody. Enjoyed it, always.
And Paula, we already know, but say it again.
I'm really glad to have had this opportunity to be with you ladies. Very, very memorable and exciting. I love it. I want everybody to keep their ears and eyes peeled for Namaste, N-A-M-A-S-T-E, Broadcasting Network. That's
soon to launch in June. You can go to namaste.stuff2watch.net. And I'll say it again, namaste.stuff2watch2.net. And look for the launching, the premiere of our network.
Cool. I'm going to leave the audience with a song. This is, I heard this song on a Cartoon Network when they needed 10 or 7 minutes in between cartoons. This is a song by Michael Unger, which is Gorilla for Sale, advertising the Magilla Gorilla Show. To everybody, till next week or either the week after, peace out.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. Won't you buy him, take him, try him. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. Don't you want a gorilla you could call your own? A little gorilla be with you when you're all alone. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. Don't you call him a monkey, he don't got no tail. And if any did, then Magilla the monkey would be for sale. With shoes on his feet, suspenders, and a hat on his head. There's not much about a dear little gorilla that hasn't been said. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale, for sale. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale, for sale. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale, for sale. Except for Mr. Peebles, he don't like primates. Magilla Gorilla just isn't a mammal with whom he relates. He'll sell you a cat or a dog or a bird or a tiny goldfish. But down deep inside Mr. Peebles, he's got himself only one wish, saying, we got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. Got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. There's a girl called Oji and she wants to buy a little gorilla from Peebles, he ain't asking why. Just get that thing out my window, you can hear him cry. But she's got no money, Mr. Peebles almost died, saying, we got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. Won't you buy him, take him, try him. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. Got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. Got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla Gorilla for sale. We got a gorilla for sale, Magilla.